Welcome to the Single Wives Podcast, a place to explore ways to both survive and thrive.
I'm Terry.
And I'm Wendy.
And we'll be your hosts. So let's get this conversation going. Hello, Single Wives listeners. Thank you so much for joining us for another week. We are so excited to be here with you guys again. Thank you for your continued support and listening to us and sharing us. We really, really appreciate your guys' feedback. If there's ever anything that you guys would like us to talk about on the air, please let us know. Please email us at info@singlewives.org or go to our website, singlewives.org, and you can contact us there. If there's anything that you would ever like us to talk about as far as a subject, or even if you have a story that you would like us to talk about on air and kind of give you some feedback on, we would love to hear that. So please utilize that. It would be such a blessing to us to have the opportunity to bring some stories forward. We'll keep all of your information confidential and change names and such. But if that would be helpful to you, please do let us know. Well, you guys, I do have some really sad news today. Unfortunately, it is just me. Oh, our sweet Wendy is, she's sick. When she got back from Tennessee, she and her whole family unfortunately got really sick. And so they're recovering. Thank you, Lord. Please continue to keep them in your prayers. But we wanted to keep things going on track, and so we decided Terry's going to do it by herself. She's not here to rein me in. So hopefully this goes well, but it will definitely be different, and we do miss our sweet Wendy. Okay, well, Wendy and I have been really motivated lately by trying to equip you all with tools in these difficult relationships. And so we hope that you're finding these tools helpful, be it identifying what your needs are, being able to express those needs, having healthy boundaries, so forth and so on. So now today we're going to talk about a tool, various tools that you can use when having to engage in conflict. I'm going to be talking about these tools in the way if you have to engage in conflict where you're bringing the conflict up. And we'll do another episode, I'm sure, where you're maybe having to walk into that conflict. But this is if you have something that you need to go to your spouse with that is conflicting and that creates some anxiety in you or some disgust in you or some grief in you, just some difficult emotions, because it can be really hard to have a healthy conversation with somebody like this. So let's get into what some of those tools are. Some key tools would be understanding how both you and your partner process things and how you all react to conflict. We're also going to talk about sandwiching things in validation, how to be clear without a lot of emotion, time and space, and not taking things personally. So when I say understanding how both of you process and react to conflict, that's knowing if you're an internal processor or if your partner is an internal processor or an external processor, what's going on when something's being presented to you or them. If you're in an internal processor, you're listening, you're digesting, you're thinking, and then you're going to come up with an outcome. If you're an external processor, sometimes there might be a lot of interrupting, there might be a lot of words, a lot of airspace being taken. So it's important to know what you can expect when you're trying to present something to your partner. Also, when we're talking about you coming in and presenting this conflict, you've had the opportunity to process what you want to say and kind of the direction that you're going. Your partner hasn't been present with you to do that. And so we do want to give them time to be able to process in the way that they need to in a healthy way, not for you to be bombarded, but in a healthy way. Also, sandwiching things in validation. Whenever we do approach conflict, we want to do so in a way that's inviting a conversation rather than coming up to them and saying, I have this problem. Well, that's automatically going to shut them down. So when we invite conversation, that might look like, hey, I just want you to know I am so appreciative of how hard you are at working. You're such a great provider for our family. There are a few things I noticed about our budget that I think would be good for us to discuss together. So if we could have a conversation about that together, I'd really appreciate it because I really value what you're doing for our family. That leaves the person hearing that a little bit like, oh, okay, we're going to have an unexpected conversation, but they're a little bit more open to it because they're not feeling like they need to be on guard with what your idea of them might be. Being clear without a lot of emotion. Again, this is really handy when we're talking about you presenting that conflict. You're going to have a whole range of emotions, whatever this conflict may be. And so you taking the time, if your spouse especially is not necessarily an emotionally safe or open person, and that's what we're talking about. You know, generally spouses like this, they're emotionally neglectful, unaware, not open, kind of trample you with their own emotions. So we want to be able to have space to process emotionally without bringing all of that emotion to an unsafe person or an unsafe situation. And so for you, you're going to be coming in and you're a bit stoic, you know, you're a bit monotone, not robotic, but you've got this tone that you're going to be using throughout and this kind of meter that you're using to manage your emotions throughout the conversation, because they, depending on what your spouse, what they may be dealing with, they may be intimidated or overwhelmed by a lot of emotions, and that could easily derail the conversation from where you're actually trying to go. At the end of the day, we have to try and have a conversation with a healthy outcome, and so we need a safe place to process emotionally. Maybe that's with a girlfriend, or maybe that's just in prayer individually. Whatever that looks like for you, please try and do that before you bring it to your spouse if you have time. Also, the tool of taking time and space. Let's say you guys are in conflict. You've gotten to a point in the conversation that it is just you've hit that wall. We're not going anywhere. Maybe it's getting defensive. Maybe it's getting demanding. Maybe it's just there's no conversation at all now happening. We're stonewalled. Okay, that's where we're going to take time and we're going to take space. But we have to come back to the conversation. And so we're gonna say, hey, you know, I appreciate your time in talking about this. I'm going to leave this with you to think about for a while, and let's come back to this. Maybe you give a timeline. Let's come back to this tomorrow morning when the kids are at school, or let's come back to this in 2 hours after you've had time to think about it. And maybe they say, no, we're going to talk about this right now, or no, there's nothing left to talk about. No, I'm still feeling unresolved in this, and I'd like to pick this back up, but I want to give you the option, or I want to give you the opportunity rather, to take this away and to really think about this. And the same for me, I really want to reflect on what you've said too, or that you're not giving any feedback yet, what that means. And then not taking things personally. Oh, I cannot emphasize this one enough. This is one that I'm really, really passionate about because it's so stinking hard. When somebody stonewalls us, or somebody gets super defensive, or somebody gets reactive, this is where all of our baggage comes up. All of those bricks in our walls start to get activated and triggered because of their response to us. And a lot of times when we have unresolved issues, particularly from our childhood, we bring those patterns into our current relationships. So when you have somebody behaving that way and you're starting to feel the angst within yourself, you're starting to feel that anxiety or that hurt, that's a good time for you to check in with yourself and to say, this isn't about me. This attack on me, or this them ignoring me, that's not a reflection of me. That's a reflection of their own chaos and what's going on with them. You're coming at it and you're trying to present healthy conflict. You're trying to be a partner with your spouse to have a conversation. And so they're going to come at it with all of their self-protective measures that are going to feel like an attack on you. So don't take their chaos personally. Understand that that is them and their reaction, and it is not a reflection of you. But if you're feeling that way, probably is a good time for you to also take time and space so you can process that and go back to the Lord and really recenter yourself on truth so that you're not moving forward In a way that is going to hurt your heart. We need to be guarded in the right kind of way. And the Lord backs that up. So if you have, let's say we're talking about conflict in the way of, common conflict would be parenting. Some issues that you have maybe in raising your kids, whether they're littles or adult children even. That seems to be a common issue. So let's say that your spouse is maybe somebody who displays some spectrum disorder symptoms. They need predictable outcomes, right? They need to have a good, clear understanding of what's coming at them, what direction they're going to be going, how they're going to react to it, how they're going to respond to it to have the best possible outcome. Well, when they need this kind of rigid routine for themselves, that predictability, it's an isolated thing, right? It's not thinking about how am I going to carry my spouse along with me as we journey through this. That would be wonderful, but that's unfortunately not reality. So we need to remember that that rigidity, again, is a self-protective measure. Anything that's, you know, unforeseen or not predictable feels very unsafe. And so they all of a sudden get in their head and they're doing this fast processing. They're not really hearing what you're saying because they're trying to work it out in their head in their own way. And then they just want to, you know, overly bombard you with, hear me and my ideas and why I'm right. And if you just understand me or if you just believe me, then you'll see that I'm right. So it's kind of this defense mechanism that happens when they have an unpredictable situation happen, such as you bringing conflict. Again, they're also very inflexible because of that. So you may be trying to say, hey, when you do this, this response happens. No, that's not what happens. When this happens, this is what happens and why. And they're going to want to convince you that their idea is right or their outcome is right. And so you can say it 20 different times. It doesn't mean that they're going to grasp onto that. They're needing to process it themselves. So again, this is why it's really important that we do come forward with that validation sandwich, not to, oh, you're so wonderful, and to appease them in an unhealthy way, but to let them be open and a little bit more flexible to hearing the conversation. So, hey, I really appreciate that you've been taking more time with the kids lately. That it has not gone unnoticed. I think they appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate that. I have noticed that when you do spend time with the kids, it can sometimes seem like you're barking orders at them versus, you know, engaging in relationship with them. Could we talk about that so I can kind of hear what you're thinking? So that's now opening them up to you're hearing their feedback, but you also have an agenda from your observation. So trying to do whatever you can to keep the conversation open rather than being shut down due to their inflexibility is going to be really important. And if they do go on that whole this is what why I do what I do, and you're making an assumption, and you don't really know, and I've done hours and hours upon research on this. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm going to leave this with you for now. I'd like to readdress this with you, like you to think about this. I want to think about what you've said to me. Let's come back to this tomorrow. But for now, I just need to take a break from it. No. I want you to read this article right now. Listen to this podcast right now. Listen to this sermon right now. No, you take time and space. You put a boundary up, and you don't have to be harsh with that or ugly with that. You want to try and be as consistent as possible in your response to them. If they see over time that when you say you're taking time and space, you do take time and space, and then you do come back to this conversation, they now know what to predict in that, and they can respond, well, they're equipped anyway, to be able to respond to that in a healthier way. So we definitely want to try and be consistent with our actions in that. Also, it's hard when you're talking to somebody who's potentially on the spectrum or has symptoms of spectrum disorder because they have a lot of words, they have a lot of ideas, and they talk at people. They don't talk with people. So when you're trying to come to them with conflict that you want to resolve or have a conversation that's really important to you, it's hard for them to be in that space with you. It's hard for them to have a conversation with you. So what I like to say a lot of times too, this is where I like to use that tool of writing things out, giving them a chance to respond to that, you respond to that written. But also what I like to say is if you're going to engage in conflict with somebody who's potentially on the spectrum, let's not do so in a way where we have a 3-hour marathon, right? We need to kind of keep it shorter and more concise. And so decide, what is it that I want to have in talking with this person? What do I want to potentially write to this person? I think that that would probably be helpful. Let's talk about if you have a spouse who's potentially got an attachment disorder, who's maybe more reactive, or even a personality disorder. Again, these are all safety measures for them. So they may have a need to feel in control or to own the conversation. They may close down or react with anger. So it could either be the stonewalling or it can be the anger. They may also go inward and push you away. And that's kind of, you know, again, it may look like they're shutting down, but really they're kind of having this battle within themselves and they need you to get away, as far away from them as possible, because now there's too many elements to try and balance. So we're going to use those same tools, right, where you've done some processing ahead of time, you're coming into it, you're trying to do that sandwich validation thing, and you're going to be clear without a lot of emotion, take time and space, and not to take it personally. So if you have, again, somebody who's potentially personality disorder or reactive attachment, even TBI, you may find yourself feeling like, gosh, why am I in this like battle for control? Why are we both trying to battle for control here? That's a clue when you start feeling like that to take that time and space. So if I come to them and I say, hey, you know, I noticed this with the kids and they're, no, you're wrong. That's just what you think. That's not really what they feel. I see it in their eyes. I see that they love spending time with me and they love working on the truck with me. Well, you know, I know that our son really loves riding bikes, actually, and he's asked you to ride bikes with him a few times, but you've never done that. You just want to work on the truck with him. Nope, he loves it, and you just don't know what you're talking about. Trying to, again, take ownership of that conversation and to shut you down. Or it can look like where you come forward and you say, you know, something about the parenting and they say, oh, well, I guess you're just telling me I'm not a good enough parent. Well, no matter what I do, I'm just not going to be a good enough parent. My kids must hate me. So why do I even try? I shouldn't try anymore if I'm just going to be here hurting everybody. Again, that's, you know, that protective measure of trying to either shut the conversation down or to own the conversation. And it's hard because with a lot of scenarios like this, it comes across as very prideful. It comes across as very arrogant. But it can be confusing because it can also come across as though the person really knows what they're talking about. And you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, maybe I do need to consider that. Well, that's potentially gaslighting that you're experiencing. So you really need to take time and space to also evaluate, what manipulative tendencies am I seeing in this conversation? When I say something, is he too quick to tell me how I'm wrong and to gaslight me into seeing that it's actually my error thinking that's gotten me to this point in the conversation or not? And if that's happening, again, that's gaslighting behavior. That's them taking control. That's allowing them to remain right. And now you're the person who's wrong. So it's important that you notice, you take the time to really think about, what am I experiencing in this conversation? So that the next time I go into a conversation like this, I can be aware, okay, when we had a conversation like this, he gaslit me. What are some techniques that I can use to ensure that I don't absorb that next time? Instead, I'm just observing it. I'm observing what's being done to me rather than absorbing it and then putting this under the rug, because the problem still remains. So those are some things that you might experience when you are engaged in that conflict. Some other really positive communication skills that I like to continually go back to as well, which may seem very elementary and simple, but I think are really helpful, would be things like reflective listening, I statements, and having fair airway. So reflective listening looks like where you say something, there's no interruptions, There's no bulldozing. There's no talking over one another. You have the opportunity to say something. Your partner reflects that back to you. You either agree or disagree with the reflection back. He asks for permission to respond, or you to continue going along that storyline. So it's kind of this volley back and forth, very controlled, very much making sure that everybody's on the right track. I really like to use this tool if couples say, you know, we just can't agree on anything. He says that I say one thing when I say that he says one thing. This is a way to really kind of clear that all up. I statements. I love I statements. That is, I feel blank when you blank. I wish blank. The reason I like I statements so much is because it's your ownership of your position within the conversation. You're not assuming what they feel. You're not assuming what they're experiencing. You're not creating a narrative of what they're going to respond with and tell them that that's what they're going to respond with. It's just you. And so if they want to come back and tell you that you're wrong for the way that you feel, well, that's a sign of manipulation, right? So we're definitely not going to take that personally. And we're going to also recognize, oh, that's manipulative. That's not healthy conflict. So keep that in mind when you're trying to process your emotions and share how you're feeling with your partner. And then also giving fair airway. Again, this is big too, depending on your processing style. If you're an external processor, there's a lot that you're thinking and feeling and saying, and that can be hard for a partner to be able to receive all of that. And that's why it's important to try and process as much as you can before bringing conflict up. If you're an internal processor, you probably already have less words, but we can all easily, I'm an internal processor, but I can be quite wordy myself. So we want to be mindful of like, oh, they're glazing over. Am I losing them? We want to give them as much airspace as we have. And let's say that they're super quiet. Okay. Yeah. Well, do what you want to do. Okay. Well, we're not going to exactly match that, right? But we're going to try and stay somewhere close to that as we're doing this volley back and forth, where we're not giving them a 20-minute speech. They come back with a 2-second speech. We go back in with a 40-minute speech. We're not effective at that point. So again, I hope these tools were a little bit helpful. If you guys have any particular questions on these, please feel free again to contact us via social media or our website, singlewives.org. We love hearing from you all, and we will certainly be praying for our listeners throughout the week and cannot wait to have Sweet Wendy back with us again next week. You all take care. Thank you for connecting with us for another week. Please continue to check out our resources on our website at singlewives.org. and also on our social media platforms.
If you find the podcast to be helpful, please share it with others who are also looking for a community. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. Until next week.